This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up, Effective Communication, the show on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network, focused on your communication and leadership skills. I'm your host, Craig O'Neill, and in our episode today, I'm reframing the classic Toastmasters principle of know the room. This is tip number 4 in our series on public speaking tips. And I'm going to reframe this into a totally different phrase here. I'm going to say, instead of know the room, I'm going to say own the room. And I'll explore what it means in this episode to take complete responsibility, not just for your presence in a space, but for what the space itself is communicating to the people who enter it. Through stories of some masterful speakers that I have seen handling disasters and even pristine environments that testify to respect, we're going to discover how owning your workspace, whether it's a conference room or repair facility, owning your space builds the trust that makes all communication possible. Our word of the day for today is liminal, liminal, L-I-M-I-N-A-L. And I'll define that word for you after we hear a brief word from our sponsors who make this show possible. Autoflow is your partner in technology. With Autoflow, enhance your client interactions in a single thread before, during, and after the visit. To see how Autoflow makes it simple, visit autoflow.com. Your trusted companion, ShopDog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call ShopDog Marketing today or visit shopdogmarketing.com. Unlock your communication insights with Inbound's AI-powered call analytics for auto repair shops. Learn more at callinbound.com. Okay, we're back, and our word of the day today is liminal. It is an adjective. Liminal is relating to a transitional or in-between space. It's occupying a threshold between two different states or realities. I would say this, think about the repair facility, lobby, or a hotel conference room. These are absolutely liminal spaces. They're thresholds between one world and another. The repair facility sits between the customer's world and the shop's work. A conference room is between the outside world and the learning environment. The challenge is that liminal spaces can feel uncertain, disorienting, if they're not owned well. And when you take responsibility for such a liminal space, making it clean, organized, respectful, you do help people cross that threshold with confidence rather than anxiety. Helps people settle in. Keep that word in mind as we explore what it means to own the room. Now, first off, I do have to remind you of something. And my family name is O'Neill, and I'm pretty sure that there's a long lifetime struggle that has occurred with another Irish clan called the Murphys. And they even have this law that seems disproportionately used to attack the O'Neill clan. It is called Murphy's Law. Maybe you've heard of it. So this is the rule that it's, of course, the rule that if something can go wrong, it will go wrong. And Murphy's Law seems to have this very real and present feature in our lives. But here's what I've learned related to this topic. The degree to which you're capable of managing those inevitable problems is really what's going to determine your coolness, your calmness in any space at all. So this is why arriving early matters a lot, something I've struggled with it multiple times in my life. But it's not just that. It's not even just about memorizing the layout of a room. I feel like that's what, when you say know the room or something like that, you're like, okay, are we going to do tables and circles, or are we going to do classroom style, or are we going to do an U-shape? And that's like, okay, that's how the class is going to go, or because the room is shaped this way. It's so much deeper than this. I haven't yet been to an environment where the room could be fully known anyway prior to arriving in it. There's always some element of setup that's necessary. There's always a problem. There's a technical glitch. Something's missing. The microphones aren't powered on. Something didn't work. And so it's hard to solve that sort of stuff if you're there last minute. But if you do arrive early, you have time to discover and address the inevitable problems before anyone's watching. You scramble. And I've seen examples of speakers becoming frazzled because of problems in a room. And I've seen examples of speakers who've mastered every problem that could possibly happen. So I'm going to give you both of these examples. First, a cautionary tale. And I'll leave this person unnamed because it's an example of where there's a lapse of coolness, is how I will put it, from someone who I know and I know knew better and did regret later how the performance went as a result. Bottom line, it was at a significant enough event in our industry, but yet, despite the great staff, a microphone wasn't working. Hard hardware failure. Like, it couldn't be solved. The room has a issue. It's not going to be fixed. You're going to do this without a microphone. And it's a pretty full room, at least 80 to 100 some people. And this guy was a powerful speaker. But in the middle of the room, there was a guy who was literally hard of hearing. So he constantly kept raising his hand, asking the speaker to repeat himself constantly. I mean, multiple points. No one else in this room was having a hard time. Even the people in the back could hear this man just fine doing the presentation. But this guy in the middle, hard of hearing, constantly interrupting. And it became exasperating and disruptive. And it was actually frustrating audience members and then became visibly frustrating and for the speaker as well. And this speaker, again, wonderful. He could afford to take it down a notch, but losing your cool is not anything that you want to do. And when he finally says, dude, if you got to come sit up front, if you can't hear good, we've got a microphone problem and I'm speaking as loud as I can, right? That visible frustration, it hits in the audience differently, even if they're sympathetic to you. And we want to be able to avoid those sort of scenarios, despite the problems. Keeping the cool is tough, though, and those scenarios. But that energy shift, that's something that was regretted later. And I don't think any significant damage was done, but it was a lasting memory on it. And it's come up multiple times in conversation. And that's what happens when room problems compound and you can't maintain your composure. And it can happen to the best of us, is hopefully what the takeaway is there. It absolutely can. And then I have to transition to just a masterclass in the inverse of this. And I'll name this person because I name him all the time. He's one of my dearest mentors. I mentioned him in the last episode. He's going to be mentioned again in this one. If you can guess, because you're a loyal listener on the show, yeah, it's Bob Greenwood. And I have to tell you this opposite story, if I haven't told you this before, because it was huge. I brought him back into Grand Rapids by setting up a seminar, ASA. And it was at a local, that was a Hilton, a pretty decent, nice one as well. And this event, I think, was plagued from the start, probably because an O'Neill was helping to organize some of it, I guess. But first problem was one of Bob's suitcases with one of his workbooks didn't make it in. He was flying in for this, and so that didn't make it on the airplane. That was missing. No problem. He had his other workbook, and everything was going perfectly fine. But gosh, it was maybe 25, 30% of the way through his full-day class, and the hotel had a freak power outage. Some rainy day thing too, right? It was bad weather day, but it wasn't really related. There was no area power outage from the utility company. It was something happened inside the hotel, and it wasn't going to get fixed. I mean, these hotel staff had to come in with, like, literally lanterns, battery-powered lanterns, some of them, and Bob, of course, somehow just never missed a beat. He was unflappable in this time. We were able to continue with the workbook and everything. And I swear, I've seen him deliver that same presentation before. He did not miss one beat. We're talking no slideshow, nothing visible on the electronic side of things at all. And he was comfortable and he was doing great and everybody was with him. And that's what mastery would look like. That's what it means to truly own a room, no matter what happens. When everything that can go wrong does go wrong and you don't get rattled because you're so present, so prepared, so settled into your purpose, and the external circumstances cannot shake you. Bob had so completely owned that space, that threshold of all things, that even when the lights went out, people could still cross that line with him and be with him without any issue. And this leads me to another one. And I will regard this as truly one of the greatest speakers. And this isn't about problems. This is about perfection. I want to tell you about John Thornton. And for those of you who have not listened yet to Matt Fonslow's interview on Diagnosing the Aftermarket, A through Z, right here on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network, I strongly encourage you. It's a 2-episode series where Matt interviews John Thornton. And John talks about how he prepares for presentations, how he regards the space for presentations. And a lot of this sort of topic will come through in that. So as an auxiliary, after you're done here, please check out that episode. It is a masterclass on this very topic. But when I say I hold John Thornton as the bar for some of the best speaking, best presentation, best training that I have ever seen in this industry, I'm not kidding. And I'm far from alone in that. There are many, many other people who say, yep, spot on. And John's such a humble guy. You probably hate that it's even being mentioned right now, but he's very good. I've told John this. I had a very vivid moment when I was observing one of his seminars. And these were on Monday nights right here. We're very fortunate here in Grand Rapids, Michigan. This was taking place at it was then a Crown Royal. It's a Sheraton now, but it's a pretty nice hotel. Fancy, I would actually say, in terms of the conference room that we're in. It's got the chandeliers and everything. And it's a cascade over here in Grand Rapids. It tries to be an up and up area. But this is a Monday night after a busy day at work. It's always in the colder season. I think it was somewhere in October, November, early December that we would see three classes or so from John, and we'd see Eric Ziegler up here too. But always a colder season, it felt like. And our team always tried to sit up front. Our grandpa taught us always try to be front row students and these sort of things. Some of our friends from Tolman's Auto were there as well. And Philip Tolman, some of his crew, and lots of other people from around the area. And there's always over like 100 people in this class. Automotive seminars do such a good job. And this was highly sought after training. It's time for today's Suck Less Spotlight from Autoflow. Today's spotlight is on advisor eye twitches. Listen, clients like to stay informed throughout the repair process, and studies indicate clients are most satisfied receiving text updates versus phone calls. But call you they will, interrupting everything from estimating to quality conversations and your game of solitaire. That is, unless you text them first using Autoflow. With Autoflow's automated text updates, your phone only rings for the right reasons. That way, with less phone interruptions, your eye twitch will definitely suck less. For this and more things that could suck less, visit autoflow.com. Ready to boost your auto repair shop's success? ShopDog Marketing is here to help you. We put customers first using AI to create standout content that ranks. Harness the power of mobile first and voice search, and let our expert team help you. Sweeten your revenue with more car count. ShopDog Marketing offers a free guide on using AI to drive more repair orders. Get your guide today and watch your auto repair shop thrive. Visit ShopDogMarketing.com. Inbound has exclusively served independent auto repair shops with expert communication solutions for years. Now, our robust VOIP platform ensures you stay connected while our industry-leading AI analytics take your business to the next level. We provide the tools you need to understand your customers and optimize every interaction. Choose Inbound. For proven expertise and unmatched innovation, visit callinbound.com and discover the difference we can make. Let me tell you what I was observing, the image that is burned into my brain. I was sitting on the far left side of the room towards the front there, and John was doing his things, doing an amazing job. He's got everybody's attention. Everybody's watching him as he moves and paces around the room. All eyes are on him. You see the heads turn almost in unison. It's like people watching tennis. He's not bouncing around like that, but it's energetic, right? Mind you, this is one of those things where I was observing. I was in management at this point, not technical training. As a manager and service advisor, I would still go with our technicians to a lot of the technical training as often as I could at this stage. It just always helped me understand the deeper technical things. But I wasn't really there to learn the same way the technicians are really absorbing the diagnostic process. I wasn't going to be applying this. But the room, every single table had tablecloths. And there were these shiny silver-looking pitchers of water with the nice glass cups. And there's the napkins and there's the tray of candies and fancy place. And you have to contrast this with this bunch of technician types that came in. I use the word technician, not just diagnostic specialist or anything. That the uniforms are a little grimy, semi-soiled sometimes. Some of them have rougher duty work than the others. The clothes they were wearing during the day, this is so early, it was like around 6 o'clock. A lot of them just immediately end their day, quickly get there. I remember, I can't tell you what the point was that John made, but while we were sitting there, it was an interesting thing because I was looking down the row of people at my table and they're all right-handed. And John said, note this down. And everyone's hand grabs their pencil at the same time, seemingly in unison, almost like it were rehearsed. And they all start writing a note about the same time. And I'm looking down the row. It had this effect of, you know how it looks when you have a mirror and it creates a reflection upon reflection upon reflection upon reflection upon reflection. That's what it sort of felt like as I'm looking down this row of technicians' hand with those the grease cracks in there. It's like the contrast of this image is forever in my brain of seeing these hardworking dudes absolutely dialed in this fancy freaking place. And it was just such an interesting and truly beautiful image of what I see as top quality, like training and respect. So why did this like have this impact on me? Like there's this audience with that grimier feel to it, the day's work, the contrast of that pristine space, the intense focus. But here was a speaker in true mastery in this space that I found out, especially listening to Fonzo's interview. This is cultivated and elevated quite deliberately, and as I see it. And what I learned later about how John looks at things is that this was a lot of deliberate choice in choosing spaces, or closely worked with event coordinators so much that, yeah, it's because of his extreme respect for the people in his audience that this space was this way. And why would it then have been a surprise at all? People are dialed in and we're just a part of that space in a really great way. Words fail me to describe what that's like. I would say this though, the space testified to how much their learning mattered. They weren't just technicians getting another training session in a dingy conference room somewhere. These were professionals whose time and attention deserved a pristine environment. Now, think about that for a moment, how much that communicates respect. The moment they walked through that door, this space itself was telling them, you matter, your growth matters, this time is valuable. And John owned it completely. He was always early. Everything was set up. He was totally present with the people. Everyone wants to talk to him in the front of the room in between the non-breaks and everything else. I swear he doesn't hardly get a break. But there's no last minute setup or anything at all. Everything was prepared. That's owning the room at the highest level. Now, you don't always get to choose a pristine space. Sometimes the space does actually work against you, and you do still have to own it. I had this at a recent show, a larger event. So there's a series of a whole bunch of rooms. They're already selected for you. You have very little to do, it seems, with the setup of a room. Until you do have everything to do with it. That's what happened. I've been moved around last minute, classroom switching, and then all of a sudden you're in this smaller room and it's a hodgepodge, hotel staff doing nothing about it. And fortunately, like in this recent case where this happened to me, I was able to get to my room early enough, the right one, and I was beginning to see the setup. And every part of my being, it was like, oh my goodness, I could scoff at this if that were my attitude. I could think this is terrible or disrespectful. And like, how could this be the room that I have to deal with now? Oh, and I initially thought, gosh, there's not even tablecloths. So I'm going to solve that first and go and grab the first person. I say, hey, there's no tablecloths, just to have some poor hotel staff guys like, yeah, no one paid for tablecloths. It's like, oh crap. Okay. Well, there's one table, it had water spilled over it. I had to go find some paper towels, dry it off. It's getting all grimy from just dust that was on this typical folding table that's too narrow to do anything with other than maybe put one notepad on there. Either way, that's the room that we're going to have. I'm early enough, no one's in here yet. I have to make it nice. I rearranged the entire room, got it laid out best I could, put the chairs where they needed to. I had before and after pictures of it to make it look as nice as possible before they showed up, because even when the space is working against you, owning it does mean taking responsibility for its condition, making it as good as possible. You don't have to accept a liminal space that feels chaotic or disrespectful, and you don't have to be complaining about it or frustrated when your people are coming into that room. You can just welcome them into the space as best you can. You own it anyways. And if there is a problem, you own that too. And you apologize. You are a representative of wherever you're at. can be frustrating in some cases, especially out there. And when you're speaking, you don't know what you're going to have. I've had wonderful rooms. I've had terrible rooms. It's part of the issue. But here's the principle. The space testifies to the quality of everything else that you do. If I walk into a shop, you walk into a shop and you see that it's unkempt, it's in disarray. What are you going to believe? You're going to believe that there's high risk for errors or that other things are also not going to be handled thoroughly in this place. The space is evidence before you can even speak a word. And this translates directly to service advisor context as much as it does for a speaker. Your workspace is your room every single day. Think about the repair facility as a liminal space. It's the threshold between your customer's world, your shop's work. They're leaving their vehicle, their trust, their hard-earned money is in your hands, and it's a significant crossing. What does that threshold right here communicate to them? A disorganized desk or workspace in constant state of chaos? It's extremely frustrating to end the day that way and begin the next day that way, even for you. And if you leave the end of the day knowing what tomorrow brings, it makes a lot less anxious for you as you go home to try to be present with your family at night, ending yesterday well, so you can begin today well. That's a form of owning your space. When you walk in the next morning to a clean desk with a clear understanding of how that day is at least supposed to go, with the best information that you have, you can be present. You can greet people, right? Even the people that are there early, like you, and that distract you from trying to be organized for your next day. We've seen it all. But yeah, you get to shake hands. You get to have nice conversations because you're not frazzled or frustrated in anything else. So you can ask questions and be curious and get to know the people that you're serving. You can't do that, especially if you're scrambling to find paperwork or figure out where you left something or dealing with a mess that somebody else left for you and you blame that. Space is testimony. An organized workspace testifies that you handle things with care and take ownership for it. A chaotic workspace suggests otherwise. Now, one more thing I'll say about the repair facility side, though. I've been in a lot of tire shops lately, especially out west. A few of them here in Michigan, too, are starting to do this, where the physical setup is consciously shifting away from a counter setup where there's the front counter, right? And that creates something of a barrier, like this is the boundary. I'm on one side, you're on the other side. And I've seen a lot more setups starting to gravitate towards that kiosk sort of feel where you're more shoulder to shoulder with the client almost. And it's really interesting to see how that actually changes the dynamic with the person when you don't have something literally between you and them. I would say that simply stated, it makes it feel like you're on their side, literally and figuratively. So the physical positioning within that space, I think, communicates the relational reality you're trying to create. So if you do have control over that setup, own that choice too. If you don't, just be aware of how that goes. A lot of times, just reminding your advisors, sometimes come around the counter and just be on that same side with the client. Sometimes mingle, interact with them in the waiting room area. That's all very good stuff and helps people feel welcome in your space. Now, I want to wrap this up. I want to close with something Bob Greenwood used to always say, and I've quoted it probably a dozen times on this podcast, referring to how we dress. Bob would say, I dress nice, not for me, out of respect for the people that I'm meeting with. You're worth it, he would say. And we have to do the same thing for the space that we're meeting in. You dress the room out of respect for the people who will be in it. They're worth it. So whether that's choosing a pristine hotel for technical training or wiping down dirty tables at your next conference or organizing a repair facility desk at the end of each day, you're communicating through that space how much the people matter. You're helping them cross that liminal threshold from their world into yours with confidence, calm, and not too much uncertainty. So that's the reframe. It's not just know the room, it's own the room. Own it in two ways. First, prepare it so you can present. Arrive early enough to solve the inevitable problems. Settle into the space so that when people arrive, you're not scrambling. You're present for them. And second, cultivate it so it testifies to quality. The space itself is evidence of how you approach your work. Make it clean. Make it organized. Make it communicate respect. Because presence builds trust, and the space itself is part of the trust building. Be like Bob, unflappable when everything goes wrong. Be like John, deliberate, respectful in every detail, and don't be too frazzled too easily when problems do take place. Own the room because people in it deserve your best. If you have something to add, folks, if you have something you're curious about, something you'd like to talk about, email me here at this space, speakup@craigoneal.net. I would love to hear from you and your experiences with spaces, whether as an attendee at conferences or as a speaker yourself. We all have stories, and I do love to hear them. We appreciate hearing from you on anything that helps or your suggestions on topics you'd like to hear us discuss on the show that will help you on your communication journey. And remember, listen up on the app, download it, to all the shows on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network, Remarkable Results Radio with Carm Capriato, Diagnosing the Aftermarket A through Z with Matt Fonzel. We've mentioned enough on this episode. Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest, the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Brian and Kim Walker, the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton. And once again, thank you to our sponsors. Thank you, our loyal listeners, for joining us. Now get out there, listen up, speak up, and own the room.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Check the show notes for Craig's YouTube channel and email. Let him know what topics you'd like him to speak up about. Yeah.